get the local.
For the blind and visually impaired Board of Commissioners is in order. I'd like to welcome everybody. We're hopefully going to move through the items as quickly as possible, but I do want to make sure that everybody knows that concerning public comment, our approach to that has been that there is always a specific time during the agenda during which we call for public comment, but we also generally, when we're dealing with the topic, we will open up for the public to comment at any time during the meeting. The only time that we don't do that is if we're running really long and we need to move along. So that's what our approach has been to comments from the public. We're always glad to have people here at our meetings. We want input from people, and so that's what we will do. Also, our meetings are taped, and people can request to receive copies of the tape to listen to the meeting afterward. And so we want to make sure that people know that as well. The first thing we'll do is to go around and introduce ourselves, and we'd also like for anyone who is here to introduce him or herself so that we know to whom we're speaking. I'm Barbara Walker. I'm Chairman of the Board of Commissioners. And we'll go around to my right, I guess.
Bill Arrester.
Dorothy Weston Matthews.
Earl Van Zandt.
Bob Burns, Fisher.
Okay. We welcome everybody. And usually we're not hard to hear. We pretty much speak up. But if you can't hear us for one reason or another, please ask us to project or whatever.
Barbara?
Yes. Well, you know, that that isn't going, you know, I'm taking things in order, and that happens to be your clairvoyant or something, but the next thing. We've been waiting for quite a while to get a new commissioner appointed, and Thursday of this week, that is 2 days ago, we finally received word, and so did Nancy Oltman, that she has been appointed to be the new commissioner. I had talked with Shala Young more than once about the fact that it would be good to have the appointment made in time for us to be able to get information to the new person before the meeting. I don't know whether that meant that a day was considered to be sufficient time, but we did not inundate Nancy with a bunch of material yesterday, so she is brand new to the board, and we're really glad that on such short notice she was able to come. And also, you know, she did give up an important thing that she was going to do today, a family member's graduation, in order to be here with us, and we do appreciate that. And we're glad that we didn't have an appointment made and that kind of thing, but it would have been really nice if there had been a little bit more notice for everybody concerned. Anyway, we want to welcome you, Nancy, and if you want to say anything to people.
I just consider this a real privilege and honor, and I've been told it's a lot of hard work, so I guess I'm going to find out what I'm going to have to do. I'm learning, obviously, but I'm real honored that I'm finally.
Okay, the next item on the agenda, by the way, there are copies of the agenda. Is that accurate?
Yes. I pass them out to everybody that's here now.
Okay. I didn't want to, have people not knowing that there are copies of the agenda available. The next item on the agenda is minutes of the February 25th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
If not, I'll move their approval.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the February 25th meeting minutes be approved. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The next item on the agenda is the report from the chairman, and I did not hand out an outline of my report because the computers, both of them that I was using yesterday, were seeming to have problems, and that is the thing that got sacrificed. So, get the report. First item, of course, is the welcome of Nancy Oldman. We're glad to have her on the board, and we also need to remember that there are positions coming up at the end of this year. Bob Burns' position, Bill Arrester's, and mine are all up at the end of 2003. So that's just a reminder to everybody. I want to officially, publicly congratulate Pearl for winning the ACBN's Carl P. Curtis Award. People for what they do, and so we offer our congratulations. Thank you. On the to mention too that we've been dealing with the minutes on Newsline. There'd been a glitch and it had been solved, and now it seems to have reappeared, and that's why the meeting announcement and the agenda didn't get up this time. We're closer to having it resolved for good than we were a little while back, but the minutes from the February meeting did get up finally, but the notice and agenda didn't. Ryan Ozentoski, the Newsline coordinator, wanted me to report though that the Denver Post is now on Newsline. There have been quite a few people who have wanted that, and it finally has happened. So that's another thing that I wanted to report on. Concerning the focus topic for today, we had originally talked with Vicki Rasmussen of the Client Assistance Program to come. This is a big day for graduations, evidently, because there's a graduation in her family that she did go to today. And so we will be accepting her apology at this point. And I did communicate with her via email about a time that would be available for her, and she thought probably since she would prefer to meet with us here in this part of the state, and I had told her that we would probably be meeting somewhere outside of the Lincoln, Omaha area in the summer, probably she would be more available for the meeting after that, which is probably our November meeting. And so that's where we are now. We've certainly kept the invitation open. I think that's something that we need to deal with. And So that should be happening, not the next meeting, but the one after that. At our last meeting, we talked about the visually impaired peer support convention that was going to be happening in May, and Bill Arrester and I were invited to talk with the executive board of VIPS, and we also participated in the public forum. And it turned out, since Bob Burns was also going to be presenting some workshops there, he came early enough that he was able to be there for part of the public forum. And one of the things that we had wanted to find out from them was where they would like for us to meet that would accommodate most, you know, the most of them to be able to come to one of our meetings. And we did have a voice vote. The options that were raised were Kearney, North Platte, and Grand Island. And Grand Island won. So we can get to the point of setting the location. We'll already pretty much have that decided, because at our February meeting we had said that we would find out where the VIPS members wanted us to meet, and we would go there. We also did talk about the getting our announcements and notice and that kind of thing into their newsletter, and that did happen in the most recent newsletter, and we'll continue to do that. We've also put the notices out and the minutes and so forth through Radio Talk and Book. That was another thing we talked about in February, and so I did let you know that that is something that we're doing. And one of the things that was raised as a suggestion was that we make available a printout of our bios and the inception of the commission, you know, how that happened and when it happened and that kind of thing, and make that available to people. And it seems like that would be something that we could do. And I don't know if we need to take a vote or not. I think it's a good idea, and it seems like something that wouldn't be real
all the bios are there except Nancy.
Yeah. The bios that are on the commission's website are short, and you know, just kind of a short synopsis of what you've done, and I think probably your resume material would be fine. And that way, you know, once that, I think probably I haven't mentioned that to you, but now it's just that, I guess, to mention that we do have on the commission's website bios from each of the commissioners, and, you know, we can compile those and, you know, add something to it, make it available not only to the VIPS members, but also on the website. I think that would be a good idea. Bob and Bill, have I missed anything as far as what we talked about at that meeting?
No, I think it covers pretty well. Well, actually, the VIPS, they were a little bit concerned with regard to, they felt that they should have a seat on the board, so Bob Deaton arranged a meeting with the executive committee so that we could more or less explain what's going on and how members are appointed and what's required for membership and so forth. And I don't think we allayed all of their concerns, but I think they have a better idea of where the commission is going and the requirements. requirements for the commission. So I think the meeting was, with the executive board was extremely helpful. I imagine we should do that every so often, perhaps, keep everything on the straight and narrow.
My, Robert?
Yes.
I just wanted to say that my, what I was hoping for in terms of helping that meeting to happen was to begin a dialogue between the board and here. So there is a discussion with the leadership that we are in good faith.
Thank you, Bob.
Barb, do they understand why they're not a part of, I mean, they don't have representation on the board?
We discussed that. We discussed the differences between organizations such as the American Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind, and the fact that those organizations are actually self-created, I mean, you know, created by blind people, and you know, that kind of thing, and that the conception of the visually impaired peer support had to do with bringing people together who are all clients of the commission. At the time that it was created, it was the Nebraska Services for the Visually Impaired. And the fact that it is not really separate from the commission in the same way that the American Council and National Federation are. And it is not really, it wasn't conceived as a politically active kind of organization. It was created for the purpose of peer support, you know, for people who have similar issues, that is, primarily being older and blind, to get together, you know, because somebody might be meeting, a counselor might be meeting with more than one person in a given town, but because of confidentiality rules and things like that, that really wasn't able to be passed along to each of the people so that they could kind of help find each other. And so this was a way of having people brought together who otherwise might not have known each other, but who would have something in common to work on. And so we talked about those kinds of differences. Now, you know, how people perceived what we said and that kind of thing, I don't really know. But we did talk about it. I think it was good to talk about it. And I think it's useful for people to explore those kinds of things every once in a while, because I think it's easy to, after something's been around for a while, to maybe not know about its beginnings or really realize where it came from, how it came to be, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I thought it was a useful thing. And so I guess the short answer is, yes, we did talk about that. And, you know, I guess we'll see as time goes on how that was perceived and what will happen as a result of it.
Yeah, so my understanding is they are part of clients being served by the agency, mm-hmm. where the rest of us are separate from the agency.
Yeah, and so, you know, it does make a difference. Another thing that we did talk about, which I'm glad we had a chance to, since there seemed to be some confusion about it, is that all of us who are on the commission board listen to all blind folks across the state. It doesn't matter whether we are appointed based on a consumer organization or whatever or not, we are, each of us, responsible to the blind people of the state, and anybody can come and talk with any of us or all of us at any time. We re-emphasize the commission's 800, that is toll-free number, it's actually 877 number, but we re-emphasize that exists for people who don't have internet connections or who aren't part of the new blind situation or whatever, that they can still receive information through a telephone call, or they can receive tapes of minutes or of the meeting, the entire meeting, if that's what they're looking for. So we were able to remind people of other avenues that are available, and the fact that that we all do listen to everybody, and that we're not just doing that at these meetings on, you know, a quarterly or however often basis, but we listen to people anytime. And so we can be approached whenever somebody has an issue that they may want to raise. And so I'm glad we had the opportunity to clarify those things as well. Okay, that I believe is the end of my report, and so we'll move on to the report from the executive director. She did provide us with a list of her items. Thank you, Pearl.
Yes, thank you. First, I'd like to reintroduce and recognize Jody Fraction for being with us this morning and taking the notes. Jody joined us on staff of the commission November 15th. So thank you, Jody. She's from here in Omaha, and she's in the Omaha office. And also, we have a new staff person with us here today, Tammy Libby, who introduced herself. Tammy, would you just say a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself a little bit more to the group?
Okay. I'm Tammy Libby.
Congratulations and welcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, my next thing is rules and regulations that I sent to the board members at the same time that I sent to the Assistant Attorney General the revisions for Chapter 3, the business enterprise. Did you all receive that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. That was May 9th. I had not heard any reply at all from her. Lynn Melson is the person, the Assistant Attorney General, who works with us. So I did call her on Thursday and to make sure she had received it and to get an idea of what her time frame would be and whether she even would read it, you know, for us. You'll recall we went, or maybe not everybody knows, we went through the whole process and did have the rules that we were drafting approved by the board at public hearing, then sent them on to Secretary of State and our clerk of the legislature and the Attorney General's office, who then, after many months, replied to us and had issues with all three of the chapters of rule. So we did meet with her once about them and then are working to incorporate her changes or to explain, you know, to really document on the things that we believe really need to remain the same, why that is, and perhaps change the wording of the rule to reflect that. So this step then is to basically respond to her letters that gave us the corrections or the revisions that would be required. She was a little hesitant about this step. I mean, I was trying to find out exactly what is proper. It seemed, one of the things is that if the changes are not substantive, you do not have to go through the whole public hearing process again. We can just agree on the changes. But we need her to tell us if each of these things are substantive or not. So she...
When did those go out to us?
Oh, you didn't? Did you say when or why?
No, when did it come out?
When? May 9th was the date of my email. And it was a memorandum to Lynn Melson with the rule attached. I'll resend that. Did everybody, and Nancy, I'll, obviously yeah. You didn't get it.
I received it.
Pardon me, Bill?
I received it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dorothy? Mm-hmm. Bob? Okay.
Not anybody.
You didn't buy a strong computer.
No.
Okay, well, thanks for telling me that. Anyway, we don't know if we need another public hearing until she tells us. So she talked about how busy she is and how court duties will keep her from even looking at it for at least a month. But our goal is to have at least one, if not the other two, to her, maybe by the time she gets to this one, and hopefully she will take a look at it. The memorandum itself is a page and a quarter, and it does specify specifically the changes that were made in the same order as her memo. So, you know, hopefully it's not too time-consuming for her. But anyway, that's where we're at. I can read to you the specifics if you like, or those of you that received it, if you have questions. I don't know if you want to discuss more in detail, but that's up to you.
I wouldn't serve any useful purpose at this time until we hear from them, I suppose.
Okay.
I think you did a real good job on
it. Oh, thank
you. Pointing out why you did what you did. So.
Thank you. Sure. Does that sound all right, Barb?
Yes.
Okay. The first one had to do with we require a person to be age 19 or older and a U.S. citizen in order to be a vendor in a blind vendor in Nebraska. And the Nebraska statute that established the commission did include language about the vision requirements for to be a vendor, but it did not say anything about the specifics. Now it did say pursuant to 20 USC 107 the sections that is the Randolph-Shepard Act, but it, of course, it didn't give all the specifics that are within that act. She initially had said, well, and actually throughout all three of the rules, one of the issues is if we put something into our rule that is not in the state law, then we're possibly not in compliance with the state law. And so, but of course, to be a blind vendor, you have to be able to sign contracts, and to be in Nebraska, to sign your own contracts, you have to be age 19 or older. So anyway, we do cite the Randolph Shepherd Law and the Nebraska requirement and so forth. The next thing had to do with the role of the Committee of Blind Vendors, and we addressed how the committee actively participates in the decision-making process at the various stages of this, whatever might be happening, but that the agency then makes final decisions with active involvement throughout the process. Next was if an aggrieved vendor submits a grievance to the committee, then they can request the committee to act as their advocate in the matter. And the committee kind of has some, or I mean the Attorney General has some questions about how that worked and whether that was a conflict of interest. Then with regard to evidentiary hearings and arbitration, Randolph-Shepherd Law not only allows but requires that a blind vendor who does not get their complaint satisfied within the state has the right to file a complaint with the U.S. Secretary of Education. The Attorney General was concerned that this was out of compliance with state law. So hopefully they'll accept our language. And then, let's see, the last one was, that we had not included the federal regulations for the Randolph-Shepherd Act with the law itself. We had to include that in its entirety. So that will be done. That was it. Okay, so thank you for your patience with that. We're working on it. Next is case service statistics. I think this time I just wanted to report to everyone that we keep a tracking of our full-time clients that are served in the training center. We've been doing that since 1996, and so we've had 93 total full-time clients throughout that time. Of course, there are many more who come in for 3-day stays or shorter times, but 93 full-time. Of those, 70% are now employed. They've achieved their employment goals, and that includes both competitive employment and homemaker. But 59% of the clients are competitively employed, and actually 21.5% are still students. So they would not, you wouldn't expect them to be employed yet, because they're still students. 11% are homemakers, and only 8.5% are not working. And I know I sent to the board our monthly reports of case statistics. Staff changes. I've introduced Tanny to you. Wendy O'Connor was introduced at the last board meeting as the new apartment resource person. Basically, Wendy determined, or we mutually determined, the level of activity required for an apartment resource person is really quite high, and she had some back issues that it was not going to really work for her. So we were sorry to lose Wendy, but very pleased to bring Tammy on board. Kelly Coleman, who has been the support staff in the Omaha office for quite a while. I don't remember what date she started, but she's been with us a number of years and has been very good. She has just recently been promoted to orientation counselor position. And Kelly also, as a part of her position, had done our webmaster duties, putting things onto the website and keeping it up to date and so on. She now has trained Sheila Gavrick, who is the support person in Kearney. So Sheila will be the webmaster from now on. Yes, sir.
Just wanted to point out that Kelly was the title of the
Thank you. Yes, I said that wrong. I said it wrong. Thank you for correcting that.
And now that you have moved to the council,
correct. Yes. Okay, and then most of the other things that I want to talk about are already business items in old business or new business, but I do want to mention something related to budget. We've just recently, well, Thursday, I had the honor of being presented with a donation from the Grand Chapter of Nebraska, the Order of the Eastern Star, and it was the Macular Degeneration Fund and the Worthy Grand Matron and Worthy Grand Patrons Project, and they gave us $9,000.
Wow.
Nice. Yes, it was wonderful. And they did it at a ceremony at Pershing Auditorium in Lincoln. It was really very, very nice. And they are still accepting donations from across the state for this project. So they said that more will be coming. So that was really quite exciting. We also, earlier this week, received $3,500 from the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska for Newsline. And that was a commitment that had been made earlier on to continue to partner with us in order to provide Newsline to Nebraskans. And then other, I know that, and Bill will talk about Friends of the Commission, but at the American Council of the Blind State Convention, a decision was made to make a donation, probably in the amount of $200, to Friends of the Commission. So we're just really pleased for that kind of support. It's really tremendous.
That's all the money that came through the Macular Degeneration source, was that able to be routed directly into the commission?
Yes, they did give that directly to the commission. And either works, either through the Friends or directly to the commission. Works great. So with that, I'll talk more about budget issues when we get to that point, but that concludes my report, and I'd be glad to address other issues or answer questions if you like.
Does anyone have any questions?
My name is Bill Denise.
We did not get a donation from AARP directly to the commission that I'm aware of. Now, is it possible they donated something to Friends of the Commission? Do you know, Bill?
I'm not aware. So how about that, Jim? Do you know anything about it? Yes.
I am the one that the principal.
Oh, you
haven't?
Oh, you haven't?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I don't have anyone about that donation from the Eastern Star.
Yes.
How will that be filled down to this?
Well, it's not specifically for this. Yes. Well, no. They did not place a requirement on us to spend it only on seniors. Yes. Right. Yes. That is correct. Right. Probably at least 60%, and might even 70% of the clients of the commission, both independent living and vocational rehabilitation, are seniors. And actually, and when the federal definition of senior for the Older Blind Program is 55 plus, so obviously that covers a lot of territory. It's very easy with that large of a proportion of our clientele being older to really, you know, the truth is the services that we provide, large part of it
part of it is for people who are older and who have macular degeneration. So certainly, however it is used, will benefit older blind people. Yes.
Are there any other questions? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to the old business. And first thing is the materials update. And what I generally do in this part of the agenda is to quickly run through the materials that we have received to make sure that they enter into the public arena as far as that goes, so that people know the kinds of things that we're receiving over the span of time between our meetings. So we, during this time period, we received the end of correspondence with Jim Gerard concerning meeting during the week. We got the Appropriations Committee hearing and list of Appropriations Committee members, and information about JAWS training with the Nebraska Information System. We got a follow-up on the question that had been raised concerning vending locations, the clarification of Terry Harris's vending report. The moving forward about the budget appropriations hearing. We had information about the death of a former employee of the agency, Carl Olson. The PDF text addresses that I had prompted everybody at the last meeting to share those. A letter from LaVon Crosby to the Health and Human Services Committee, thanking him for killing LB 611. Information from Jan Brandt about Quicken with JAWS, and information about memorials to Carl Olson, don't be able to go to the Friends group. And when the memorial services were and that kind of thing. We've received several center evaluations. And the communication with John Fuller 10.
Correct.
About putting our minutes on RTV. And the reason people are laughing is that I want to take the 10 off of his name all the time. I don't know why I do that. And also communications concerning Friends. At our last meeting, I had been asked to contact the president of Friends about contacting former members of the State Rehab Council who had expressed interest in continuing service to the commission to see if any of that service could be done through Friends. So far, there has been a potential letter written, but I don't know whether, I didn't actually hear whether that has gone out to people or not, and that's part of why I didn't end up in my chairman's report. Does anybody know if that did go out to the former members of the State Rehab Council?
You know, I know that Jan Ludwig was working on putting together the list of people for Jim Nyman. But now that you mention it, I don't know whether that went or not. I'll double check on that.
Yeah, and I will too. I would like to hear that before today, but we do need to follow through on that.
May I mention that Jan Ludwig is working just 4 hours a day for health issues.
Okay.
So it's possible she has not gotten to that.
Okay. Also, we did have some correspondence amongst ourselves about the director's report and the chairman's report, I'm going to, that is, you know, an item on the agenda later on. And getting the glitch in the news line worked out, we had some correspondence about that. So we've received several articles by people as they are finishing their training in the center. And I really appreciate those, because I think that those are good to have us know what people are learning and how they're feeling about things. And I think that's a good idea that they're done to begin with. And